بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب رد السلام في الصلاة. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن عبد الله بن نمير قال حدثنا ابن فضيل عن العمش عن إبراهيم عن علقمة عن عبد الله قال كنا نسلم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في الصلاة فيرد علينا، فلما رجعنا من عند النجاشي سلمنا عليه فلم يرد علينا وقال إن في الصلاة لشغلا. وبه قال حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا أبان قال حدثنا عاصم عن أبي وائل عن عبد الله بن مسعود قال كنا نسلم في الصلاة ونأمر بحاجتنا، فقدمت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي فسلمت عليه فلم يرد علي السلام، فأخذني ما قدم وما حدث. فلما قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة قال إن الله عز وجل يحدث من أمره ما شاء، وإن الله تعالى قد ما يشاء، وإن الله تعالى قد أحدث إلا تكلموا في الصلاة فرد علي السلام. وبه قال حدثنا يزيد بن خالد بن موهب وقتيبة بن سعيد أن الليث حدثهم عن بكير عن نابل صاحب العباء عن ابن عمر عن صهيب أنه قال مررت برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي فسلمت عليه فرد إشارة، قال ولا أعلمه إلا قال إشارة بأصبعه، وهذا لفظ حديث قتيبة. وبه قال حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد النفيلي قال حدثنا زهير قال حدثنا أبو الزبير عن جابر قال أرسلني النبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى بني المصطلق فأتيته وهو يصلي على بعيره فكلمته فقال لي بيده هكذا، ثم كلمته فقال لي بيده هكذا وأنا أسمعه يقرأ ويمر برأسه، قال فلما فرغ قال ما فعلت في الذي أرسلتك، فإنه لم يمنعني أن أكلمك إلا أني كنت أصلي. وبه قال حدثنا الحسين بن عيسى الخراساني الدامغاني قال حدثنا جعفر بن عون قال حدثنا هشام بن سعد قال حدثنا نافع قال سمعت عبد الله بن عمر يقول خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قباء يصلي فيه، قال فجاءت الأنصار فسلموا عليه وهو يصلي، قال فقلت لبلال كيف رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يرد عليهم حين كانوا يسلمون عليه وهو يصلي، قال يقول هكذا وبسط كفه، وبسط جعفر بن عون كفه وجعل بطنه أسفل وجعل ظهره إلى فوق. وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن حنبل قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي عن سفيان عن أبي مالك الأشعري عن أبي حازم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعنهم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا غرار في صلاة ولا تسليم، قال أحمد يعني فيما أرى ألا تسلم ولا يسلم عليك، ويغرر الرجل في صلاته فينصرف وهو فيها شاك. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن العلاء قال أخبرنا معاوية بن هشام عن سفيان عن أبي مالك عن أبي حازم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعنهم قال أراه رفعه قال لا غرار في تسليم ولا صلاة، قال أبو داود ورواه ابن فضيل على لفظ ابن مهدي ولم يرفعه. باب في تشميد العاطس في الصلاة. وبه قال حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا يحيى حا وحدثنا عثمان بن أبي شيبة قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم المعنى عن حجاج الصواف قال حدثني يحيى بن أبي كثير عن هلال بن أبي ميمونة عن عطاء بن يسار عن معاوية بن الحكم السلمي قال صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعطس رجل من القوم فقلت يرحمك الله، فرماني القوم بأبصارهم فقلت واثكل أمياه ما شأنكم تنظرون إلي، قال فجعلوا يضربون بأيديهم على أفخاذهم فعرفت أنهم يصمتوني، قال عثمان فلما رأيتهم يسكتوني لكني سكت، فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأبي وأمي ما ضربني ولا كهرني ولا سبني، قال ثم قال إن هذه الصلاة لا يحل فيها شيء من كلام الناس، هذا إنما هو التسبيح والتكبير وقراءة القرآن أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنا قوم حديث عهد بجاهلية وقد جاءنا الله بالإسلام ومنا رجال يأتون الكهانة، قال فلا تأتيهم، قال قلت ومنا رجال يتطيرون، قال ذاك شيء يجدونه في صدورهم فلا يصدهم، قال قلت ومنا رجال يخطون، قال كان نبي من الأنبياء يخط فمن وافق خطه فذاك، قال قلت جارية لي كانت ترعى غنيمات قبل أحد والجوانية إذ طلعت عليها إطلاعة فإذا الذئب قد ذهب بشاة منها وأنا من بني آدم أسف كما يأسفون لكني سكتها سكة، فعظم ذاك علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت أفلا أعتقها، قال إيتني بها فجئت بها فقال إن الله، قالت في السماء، قال من أنا، قالت أنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال أعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن يونس النسائي قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن عمرو قال حدثنا فليح عن هلال بن علي عن عطاء بن يسار عن معاوية بن الحكم السلمي قال لما قدمت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علمت أمورا من أمور الإسلام، فكان فيما علمت أن قيل إذا عطست فأحمد الله وإذا عطس العاطس فحمد الله فقل يرحمك الله، قال فبينما أنا قائم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصلاة إذ عطس رجل فحمد الله فقلت يرحمك الله رافعا بها صوتي، فرماني الناس بأبصارهم حتى احتملني ذلك، فقلت ما لكم تنظرون إلي بأعين شرسل، قال فسبحوا، فلما قضى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة قال من المتكلم، قيل هذا الأعرابي، فدعاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لي إنما الصلاة لقراءة القرآن وذكر الله، فإذا كنت فيها فليكن ذلك شأنك، فما رأيت معلما قط أرفق من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. باب التأمين وراء الإمام. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن كثير قال أخبرنا سفيان عن سلمة عن حجر أبي العنبس الحضرمي عن وائل بن حجر قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قرأ ولا الضالين قال آمين ورفع بها صوته. وبه قال حدثنا مخلد بن خالد الشعيري قال حدثنا ابن نمير قال حدثنا علي بن صالح عن سلمة بن كهير عن حجر بن عنبس عن وائل بن حجر أنه صلى خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجهر بآمين وسلم عن يمينه وعن شماله حتى رأيت بياض خده. وبه قال حدثنا نصر بن علي قال أخبرنا صفوان بن عيسى عن بشر بن رافع عن أبي عبد الله بن عمي أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عنهم قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تلا غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قال آمين حتى يسمع من يليه من الصف الأول. وبه قال حدثنا القانبي عن مالك عن سمي مولى أبي بكر عن أبي صالح السمان عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعنهم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قال الإمام غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فقولوا آمين فإنه من وافق قوله قول الملائكة غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وبه قال حدثنا القانبي عن مالك عن ابن شهاب عن سيد بن المسيب وأبي سلمة بن عبد الرحمن أنه ما أخبراه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعنهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أمن الإمام فأمنوا فإنه من وافق تأمينه تأمين الملائكة غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. قال ابن شهاب وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول آمين. وبه قال حدثنا إسحاق بن إبراهيم بن راهوي قال أخبرنا وكيع عن سفيان عن عاصم عن أبي عثمان عن بلال أنه قال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبقني بآمين. وبه قال حدثنا الوليد بن عتبة الدمشقي ومحمود بن خالد قال حدثنا الفريابي عن صبيح بن محرز الحمصي قال حدثني أبو مصبح المقرئي قال كنا نجلس إلى أبي زهير النميري وكان من الصحابة فيتحدث أحسن الحديث فإذا دعا الرجل منا بدعاء قال اختمه بآمين فإن آمين مثل الطابع على الصحيفة. قال أبو زهير أخبركم عن ذلك خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة فأتينا على رجل قد ألح في المسألة فوقف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستمع منه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوجب إن ختم. فقال رجل من القوم بأي شيء يختم؟ فقال بآمين فإنه إن ختم بآمين فقد أوجب. فانصرف الرجل الذي سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتى الرجل فقال اختم يا فلان بآمين وأبشر. وهذا لفظ محمود وقال أبو داود المقرأ قبيلة من حمير. باب التسليق في الصلاة. وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا سفيان عن الزهري عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التسبيح للرجال والتصفيق للنساء. وبه قال حدثنا القانبي عن مالك عن أبي حازم بن دينار عن سهل بن سعد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذهب إلى بني عمرو بن عوف ليصلح بينهم محانة الصلاة فجاء المؤذن إلى أبي بكر فقال أتصلي بالناس فأقيم؟ قال نعم. فصلى أبو بكر رضي الله عنه فجاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والناس في الصلاة فتخلص حتى وقف في الصف فصفق الناس وكان أبو بكر لا يلتفت في الصلاة فلما أكثر الناس التصفيق التفت فرأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأشار إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن امكث مكانك. فرفع أبو بكر يديه فحمد الله على ما أمره به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ذلك ثم استأخر أبو بكر حتى استوى في الصف وتقدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى. فلما انصرف قال يا أبا بكر ما منعك أن تثبت إذا مرتك؟ قال أبو بكر ما كان لابن أبي قحافة أن يصلي بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لي رأيتكم أكثرتم من التصفيح من نابه شيء في صلاته فليسبح فإنه إذا سبح التفت إليه وإنما التصفيح للنساء. وبه قال حدثنا عمرو بن عون قال أخبرنا حماد بن زيد عن أبي حازم عن سهل بن سعد قال كان قتال بين بني عمرو بن عوف فبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتاهم ليصلح بينهم بعد الظهر فقال لبلال إن حضرت صلاة العصر ولم آتك فأمر أبا بكر رضي الله عنه فليصلي بالناس. فلما حضرت العصر أذن بلال ثم أقام ثم أمر أبا بكر رضي الله عنه فتقدم قال في آخره إذا نابكم شيء في الصلاة فليسبح الرجال وليصفح النساء. وبه قال حدثنا محمود بن خالد قال حدثنا الوليد عن عيسى بن ايوب قال قوله وتصليح للنساء تضرب باصبعين من يمينها على كفها اليسرى. باب الاشاره في الصلاه. وبه قال حدثنا احمد بن محمد بن الشبويه ومحمد بن رافع قال حدثنا عبد الرزاق قال اخبرنا معمر عن الزهري عن انس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عنهم ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يشير في الصلاه. وبه قال حدثنا عبد الله بن سعيد قال حدثنا يونس بن بكير عن محمد بن اسحاق عن يعقوب بن عتبة الأخنس عن أبي غثمان عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنهم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التسبيح للرجال يعني في الصلاة والتسليق للنساء من أشار في صلاته إشارة تفهم عنه فليعد لها يعني صلاة. قال أبو داود هذا الحديث وهم. باب في مسح الحصى في الصلاة. وبه قال حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا سفيان عن الزهري عن أبي الأحوص شيخ من أهل المدينة أنه سمع أبا ذر رضي الله عنه يرويه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا قام أحدكم إلى الصلاة فإن الرحمة تواجهه فلا يمسح الحصى. وبه قال حدثنا مسلم بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا هشام عن يحيى عن أبي سلمة عن معيقيب أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تمسح وأنت تصلي، فإن كنت لا بد فاعلا فواحدة تسبية الحصى. باب الرجل يصلي مختصرا. وبه قال حدثنا يعقوب بن كعب قال حدثنا محمد بن سلمة عن هشام عن محمد عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عنهم قال: نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الاختصار في الصلاة. قال أبو داود: يعني يضع يده على خصرته. باب الرجل يعتمد في الصلاة على عصا. وبه قال حدثنا عبد السلام بن عبد الرحمن الوابصي قال حدثنا أبي عن شيبان عن حسين بن عبد الرحمن عن هلال بن يساف قال: قدمت الرقة فقال لي بعض أصحابي: هل لك في رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال: قلت: غنيمة. فدفعنا إلى وابصة قلت لصاحبي: نبدأ فننظر إلى دله، فإذا عليه قلنسوة لاطية ذات أذنين وبرنس خز أغبر، وإذا هو معتمد على أصل في صلاته. فقلنا بعد أن سلمنا: فقال: حدثتني أم قيس بنت محصن أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أسن وحمل اللحم اتخذ عمودا في مصلاه يعتمد عليه. فأب النهي عن الكلام في الصلاة. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن عيسى قال حدثنا هشيم قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن أبي خالد عن الحارث بن شبير عن أبي عمرو الشيباني عن زيد بن أرقم قال: كان أحدنا يكلم الرجل إلى جنبه في الصلاة فنزلت: وقوموا لله قانتين. فأمرنا بالسكوت ونهينا عن الكلام. فأب في
الالتفات في الصلاة. To look around at the time of namaz. لا يزال الله عز وجل مقبلا على العبد وهو في صلاته. So as long as a person is focused in his namaz, then he receives the special attention of Allah Ta'ala. For a moment, understand that he was struggling to get an audience with the greatest person on earth. Use a contact, use someone or the other to make this possible, that I want a special audience. Now, when you have been blessed with an audience, now you pull out your phone, you're phoning, you're looking in that direction, you're looking elsewhere. Then the person that has given you this audience, how will he feel? Will he entertain you or will he ask you to leave? So here you come and you are speaking to Allah Ta'ala. So la yazalullahu muqbilan ilayhi. Allah Ta'ala's special mercies are focused towards you, as long as you don't turn away your attention. So the turning of the attention can be in about four ways. One is your heart is not in namaz. And we explained at the very beginning that when you come in for namaz, then your heart must be focused. So this, if there's anything that's distracting, then finish that up and then come into namaz. There's an urge to go to relieve yourself, then relieve yourself. Otherwise, when there's an urge, you're trying to get the first rakat, but in that entire duration, your mind will be in the toilet and you're speaking to Allah Ta'ala. Again, if you are extremely hungry, the hadith says, then at least eat something and then commence the namaz. Otherwise, outwardly it will seem that you're in namaz, but your mind is in the food. So anything that will distract your attention from Allah Ta'ala, get over that and then have your full concentration on Allah Ta'ala. Then concentration is in two levels, in two ways. One is that in the namaz you don't fidget around, scratching your body and raising your hands, moving around. So be entirely focused, don't fidget around. Number two is don't look around. So looking around can be in different ways. One is you turned your face and looked around, so that is makruh, it will decrease the reward of your namaz. The other is that you turn your chest away from the qibla, then that will break your namaz. And the third is that you just looked with the corner of your eye, So if there was a genuine need for you to look at the corner of your eye, then you are excused. A mother is performing namaz and she's got an infant child and there's nobody to take care. So she's in a namaz, but she's also taking care of the child that is infant. Right? So if it is a genuine reason for you to look at something with the corner of your eyes, then that's allowed. إذا التفت انصرف عنه اختلاس يختلسه الشيطان. So this looking around is اختلاس. اختلاس means to snatch away. So shaitan snatches away the goodness and the khushu of your namaz. The goodness of your namaz is snatched away by you looking around. So you are going through the motions, but really there is no significance in your namaz. السجود على الأنف على جبتي وعلى أرنبتي أثر تين من صلاة صلاها بالناس. So the roof in the day of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was thatched. If there was a rain, then the roof would be leaking and some areas may be slightly muddy. So if you're making sajda, then the effect of it will be visible on your forehead or on your nose. So this was visible. The Rasulullah made sajda, and then that sign of that earth was on his forehead and on his nose. An-nazru fi salati. Again, the same discussion about looking around in namaz. Rafi'i aydihim ila sama, thumma tafaqa wa qala layantahayanna rijalun. Layantahayanna rijalun. يَشْخَصُونَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Some people had their hands raised up towards the sky, so Rasulullah cautioned them that people should avoid this. Otherwise, then what will happen? أُولَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ. And the sights will just go, they'll lose their sight. So here, there's a question here. رَافِعِي أَيْدِيهِمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Nabi Sam cautioned them because of them raising their hands. So perhaps one of the reporters of the hadith had accidentally missed out one word, Rafi'i Aidihim wa Absarim ila Sama. They were raising their hands and their eyes towards the heavens. Rasulullah Sam cautioned them that if you don't leave this, then there's a fear that you may lose your sight. The next hadith is about the same. في خميسة لها أعلام فقال شغلتني أعلام هذه. Acha. So the clothing in the day of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a shawl and the lower gear, what we call lungi, right? So it so happened that the upper gear was a shawl, but the shawl had some embroidery or some design. So Rasulullah cautioned them that take this shawl that's got the embroidery, take it away and bring me a plain shawl. Abu Jam, this is the person that has given this as a gift, so return this to him and ask him to give me a shawl that is totally plain, right? So because this has distracted me from my namaz, or it was about to distract me from my namaz. So now, you may ask, alright, then can a person like Nabi Sam be also distracted? Yes. So the hadith doesn't say it distracted me, but it would have distracted me. Kada ayyaftinani min salati. So Rasulullah's teaching is more directed to us. That people like us, we should be more caution when wearing these type of clothes, that it mustn't distract you from your namaz. Now someone is wearing a new kurta, right? Every now and then he's looking at his kurta in the sleeve with the button. So nothing, you don't behave in a manner that will distract your attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's the first lesson. And the second lesson we learn is say take it back to the person that's given, Abu Jahm, and ask for an anbijaniya, right? Come and bring a plain shawl. So now the person that has given the gift, if he doesn't return it, right, then he may feel hurt that I gave him a present and he's returned the present, he's returned the gift. So Rasulullah, who was greater than Rasulullah in presenting and teaching good values? Take this, give it back and ask him to give me, and give him the reason as well. This could have distracted someone from namaz, therefore I excuse myself from it. So he doesn't feel, alright, why was my gift returned? Rukhsatu fi dhalika cha yaltafitu ila shi'b. So I just explained that if there is a genuine reason to look with the corner of the eyes, so you will be excused if you looked with the corner of the eye. So now this long hadith will come later on, but the gist of it was that Rasulullah and the Sahaba Kiram, they pitch camp at a certain spot, expedition, and they are at a certain spot, and one person was asked to guard, to stay on guard at the on a hilly position, right? He must guard. Now obviously when he's in security, the security will end up at Fajr. So now Rasulullah is anticipating his arrival, he's not coming. So he started the namaz, but the corner of the eyes he's watching, is this person returning or not? So Rasulullah is the head, not only of the army, of the Muslims. So his concern will not just be the namaz, his concern will also be the welfare of his people. So now sometimes you miss the point, you get so engrossed in your dini work that you are not concerned about the welfare and the well-being of the people that you are in charge and responsible for. Al-amalu fi salah hamilun umamata binti Zainab, right? Binti Zainab radiyallahu anha. So Umama was the daughter of Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Husband was Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi. So Rasulullah Pak Sallam had a lot of liking, and this girl also had a lot of liking for Rasulullah Pak Sallam. So as Nabi Sallam would enter into the namaz, so perhaps her mother had passed away by now, and the mother had passed away, so she used to be very much attached to Nabi Sallam. So if Nabi Sallam is going into sajda, then she will hold on to him. Right? And when Rasulullah Sallam standing up, then she will hold on, right? So now to hold on, to let someone hold on to you in namaz, is it permissible or not, right? So if it's a child and the child held on to the mother or to the parent in namaz, then it will not invalidate the namaz. But then this discussion is about amal kaseer. What will construe an action that will invalidate the namaz? So some actions will be so much that it will invalidate the namaz. So if it is known as amal kaseer, then obviously it will amount to your namaz being invalidated. So ulama ikram have explained what amounts to an amal kaseer. Some say that both hands were engaged, right? Both hands were being used in the time of namaz, then this will invalidate the namaz. But there are other opinions, but the most preferred opinion is that you do something that the person that's watching, he is certain that you're not in namaz. Right? So you're doing such a thing, you are engaged and you're occupied in something, that the person that is watching over you, he is quite certain that you're not in namaz. So this will be counted as amal kaseer, a big action, and that will then invalidate the namaz. So if it's a small action, so it doesn't invalidate. Here, the child clung onto Rasulullah. It wasn't that Rasulullah was deliberately taking the child in namaz. So that will not be construed as a big action. Right? But then they explain that just the child clinging onto the mother, that will not invalidate, provided the child, there is no impurity on the child's clothing. Number two, if it is that the child went inside and began to murk, right, then that will invalidate, because that will be counted as an amal kaseer. Yahmiluha ala atiqi fasalla وهي على عاتقه يدعوها إذا ركع. So when he has to go into ruku, he would leave her down, or she would get down, وَيُعِيدُهَا إِذَا قَامَ. And when Rasul Sallam would stand up, then she would come up again. The next hadith is also approximately the same. فَقُمْنَا خَلْفَهُ وَهِيَ فِي مَكَانِهَا الَّذِي هِيَ فَكَبَّرَ. So the next hadith also is about the same. It's a little bit more detailed, but it's about the same. اُقْتُلْ أَسْوَدَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ الْحَيَّةَ وَالْأَقْرَبِ. In namaz, if there's a scorpion or there's a snake, right, then uqtul aswadain, you must kill them even though you are in namaz. So now, will this invalidate the namaz? So if it amounts to amal kaseer, a big action, then this will obviously invalidate the namaz. So then, why did the hadith allow you to kill these things in namaz? So the hadith has allowed you, either you, your namaz carries on, or you die. One of the things will happen. If you left that thing will sting you, it will bite you, and you may die. So to save yourself, then you kill it, even though you are in namaz. So if it was just one step, and you just tramped it, and you died, so it doesn't invalidate the namaz. But if it was something more than that, then obviously the namaz will be invalidated, as according to Imam Sabr rahmatullahi. However, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi says, that even though it would amount to amal al-kaseer, it will not break the namaz. So he allows this type of an action in the course of the namaz. فَمَشَى فَفَتَحَ لِي ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَى مُصَلَّى وَذَكَرَ أَنَّ الْبَابَ كَانَ فِي الْقِبْلَةِ. Right. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to enter the room, enter the quarters of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in namaz. So now, if you look at the residence of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then if you are facing on this direction, right, then the Mubarak house is here on the side, on the right, right, if you're facing this way. And if it is that you're facing towards the Qibla, right, then the house will be on your left, right? So now, kana al-baytu fil qiblati, or kana al-babu fil qiblati, the door was in the direction of the qibla, right? So the door was in the direction of the qibla. So Rasulullah had performed namaz, is performing namaz, as Aisha is wanting to get in. So Rasulullah took one step, and he opened the door, and he came back. So it wasn't a problem because the door was in that same direction. What is meant by in the direction of the Qibla is not exactly in the direction of the Qibla, but on that end. Like example, this is the Qibla, right? This is the Qibla, right? And attached to the masjid is the house. Understand? So the Qibla wall and the door are meeting up. See, this is the Qibla wall, and the door is coming this side. So they on the same direction. So Nabi Sam didn't have to turn back, but in the same direction, he just opened the door and let the Aisha Ziyar enter. So showing that these type of small actions, if it doesn't amount to a huge action, an amal al-kaseer, then it will not nullify the namaz. Raddu salami fi salah. So إِنَّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ لَشُغْلًا فَأَخَذَنِي مَا قَدُمَ وَمَا حَدُثَ. So here's a discussion here. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he's just returned, right? He's returned from where? From Habash. So they had migrated to Habasha and they had returned. So now this was it the first returning? Because the first time the return was in Makkah Mukarramah. And then here they discovered it was a rumor. Then they returned and they came back to Medina Munawwara. So now, there's a discussion. We say generally that this was the return to Medina Munawwara, not to Makkah Mukarrama. Anyway, that's a discussion that will come. We'll come across it in the Kitab Sahu, you know, where this mistake in the Namaz, the lengthy hadith, Sulayadeen. But now, the other thing that comes here is that when Rasulullah did not return the salam, so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was worried that why didn't Rasulullah return my salam? So after the namaz, Rasul went on to explain that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُحْدِثُ فِي أَمْرِي مَا شَاءَ. So there are new things that are introduced in deen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So amongst the things that Allah Pak has introduced, one thing was introduced was talking at the time of namaz is impermissible. So before this, talking in namaz was allowed, but now from this point, talking in namaz was now forbidden. So Allah Ta'ala has introduced this at namaz time. Now in namaz you can't be speaking. So Rasulullah's, like I say, his method was too magnificent, too beautiful, right? Rasulullah could have just remained silent, but I ask you, had he remained silent, would Ibn Mas'ud have a troubled mind? Why didn't Rasulullah return my salam? Wouldn't he have a troubled mind? He would have a troubled mind, all thoughts, ma hadusa wa ma qaduma, maybe I did this, maybe this happened, and that's why Rasulullah didn't entertain me, right? So he would have some type of suspicions, and that would create a gap between him and Rasulullah. So Rasulullah cleared it up. There's nothing to worry about. It is just that Allah Ta'ala's command has come in about the namaz, that in namaz, talking isn't allowed. Right? فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And then Rasulullah returned the answer, the إِشَارَةً بِإِصْبَعِهِ. Now, يُؤْمِي بِرَأْسِهِ, right? يَقْرَأُ. So now, in namaz, if someone greets you, can you return the salam by signs? You know, he says, "Assalamu alaikum." So you, with the signal of your hand, can you return the salam? So the preferred opinion is that it shouldn't be done. But if someone does it, then is it permissible or impermissible? According to the Hanafis, there are two calls. One says it's permissible, the other say it's makruh. So when there is this type of two calls, it's better not to do it at all. Why go on to a line that is not clear, right? So there are two versions. One says that it's permissible, one says that it is. So if you look at that Ibn Mas'ud's hadith, Rasulullah didn't return the salam and didn't even indicate. But in the next hadith, you see, يَقْرَأُ وَيُؤْمِي بِإِشَارَتِهِ. He's reciting and he's also indicating as though he's returning the salam. أَنْ أُكَلِّمَكَ إِلَّا إِنِّي كُنْتُ أُصَلِّي. فَسَلَّمُوا عَلَيْهِ وَوِسَلِّي قَالَ بِلَالَ كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ رَسُولَهُمْ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ. How did he return the salam? هَكَذَا, in this manner. بَطْنَهُ أَسْفَلَ وَجَعَلَ زَهْرَهُ إِلَى فَوْقٍ. So in this manner, he returned the salam, but like this. بَطْنَهُ إِلَى أَسْفَلَ. The inside was at the bottom, right? لَا غَرَارَ فِي صَلَاتٍ وَلَا تَسْلِيمٍ. It's read in two ways. One is لَا غَرَارَ فِي صَلَاتٍ وَلَا تَسْلِيمًا. And the other way is la gharara fi salatin wala taslimin. Two different meanings. So gharar can mean a deficiency, can be something short, something deficient, right? So in namaz, let there be no deficiency. Let the namaz be complete. Similarly, when you are making salam, then let the salam also be complete. Let not the salam be deficient, nor it become a habitual thing that when you're SMSing someone, then salams, S-A-L-M-S. So what are these saying? There mustn't be any deficiency in namaz nor in your salam. Assalamu alaikum. Say it complete, say it and say it complete. Don't. Now they started on the SMS groups, salams. Now when they're greeting it, salam. But you see how it progresses or retrogresses, right? That you started on the SMS groups and now he's speaking to someone, he doesn't make a full salam, salam. So what is this? Assalamu alaikum, say it and say it complete, right? So la gharara fi salatin wala taslim is one way, and the other is la gharara fi salatin wala taslima, right? So let there be no deficiency in namaz, and let there be no salam, making of salam or returning to a salam in the time of salam. See, la gharara fi salatin wala taslima. Allah tusallima wala tusallam alaik. You don't make salam, and nobody should make salam to you whilst you in namaz. The next hadith also about the same words. Tashmeetul atis fi salah. So tashmeet has got two root meanings. One it comes from shawamit and one comes from shamata, right? Shamata is you say la tushmit bil aada, right? That your enemies rejoice at your failure, right? Your enemies rejoice at your failure. So that in Islam is very much disgusted. You rejoice at someone else's failure. The Rabbah can turn the tables around and people will rejoice at your failure. So don't do this thing here. But now, tashmeet, right? Tashmeet is now answering the person that sneezes, right? And it's got two root meanings. One is shamatat, one is shawamit. Shawamit means a column, right? A column. So when you're saying tashmeet, it means you are blessing the person in two ways. One way is that you are making dua for him that may your enemies don't rejoice at your collapse. See, because when a person sneezes, you see his facial features just are not normal, right? But a little bit abnormal, right? So it mustn't be such that your facial features just change. As a result, then your enemies begin to rejoice at this failure of yours. Or if you say shawamit, then it will mean that let your structure, your whole physique be straight. See, when a person sneezes, you see, right, as though something has happened and he has to just lower himself. So allow your features to be still erect and straight. Your body is not now bent, right? So Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, he says that he was new in Islam and someone sneezed in namaz. So I was new now. The few things that I learned, someone sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then if you hear the person saying Alhamdulillah, you should say Yarhamukallah. So in namaz now I said Yarhamukallah. Faramani al-qawmu bi afsarim. Now people began to give me stiff eyes, right? So now I'm saying to myself, wa athakula ummaya. Wa is harfa nida, and that alif after ya is also harfa nida, right? Wa. And ya is mutakallim, ha is sakta. So he says, wa athakula ummaya. What a pity for my mother losing me, right? What a pity, what a sorrow. In agony a person says this. It doesn't mean the mother lost him, but as though the agony is so grief, is so great, as though the mother has lost the child, and the type of agony that the mother goes through. So now he's thinking to himself, I'm new here, and all are looking at me. You know, so like, you know, in English you say, you regret the day you were born, right? So to show extreme grief, this is one expression, right? Ma sha'anukum tanzuruna ilayya. What's your problem? Why are you looking? Why are you giving me stiff eyes? So he's talking to them while seeing namaz. So he's new now. He doesn't know. Faja'alu yadribuna bi'aydihim ala afkhasihim. When I did this, now they can't talk in namaz, so they did this to caution me. Fa'araftu annahum yusammitunni. So I understood. By now I understood that they were trying to silence me. So فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُمْ, when I saw them trying to silence me, لَكِنِّي سَكَتُّ. So there's one word that is understood here, mahzuf, مُقَدِّ, but it's understood, right? فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُمْ يُسَمِّتُونِي لَكِنِّي سَكَتُّ. So one word is missing. I saw them trying to silence me, but I remained silent, right? And the word that is missing here is غَدِبْتُ, I was angered, right? Lakinni sakattu, but I remain silent. So some words, even in all languages, it's understood, though it's not mentioned, right? So when I saw them giving me this type of eyes, I got enraged. But I say, rather just keep the peace, I remain silent. So after namaz, Nabi Sam did not hit me, nor did he shout me, nor was he abusive. All he explained in a nice, pleasant, kind way. لا يحل فيها شيء من كلام الناس. In namaz, all this type of talk is not permissible. Talks are not permissible in the duration of namaz. Namaz is for what? For tasbih, takbir, recitation of the Quran Sharif. So now, when he saw this now, he was overwhelmed. You know, he thought he's going to get hiding. all are looking at him, banging the thighs, he's going to catch it after namaz. Yeah, he didn't shout me, he didn't hurt me. Because you understand now, this is a new person, he doesn't know, he needs to be introduced. People will be treated differently, right? One is an old Muslim, he knows everything, and he's still doing the wrong, right? Then you'll be a little bit hard and firm against him, right? Okay. Now, he practices, he's got knowledge, but he's watching movies. Now, to cover the word movies nowadays, they don't say movie, because movies looks not right, something wrong, right? Something totally disgusting, so movie. So now they say, they just cover the, so now we just watched one documentary. Well, the guna is guna, the jullab is jullab, whether you say jullab or you say it's not clean. The jullab won't change, right? The jullab will remain. So whether you say documentary or movie, it still remains the same. Right? So changing the words will not change the thing from a shaitanic box. You know, 40 years ago, all the ulama by party used to say, shaitanic box. So now the shaitanic box, if it came in the pocket, it will still be a shaitanic box. But it's just the shape and the size has changed. Otherwise, the shaitanic box will remain a shaitanic box. Anyway, فَلَا تَعْتِهِمْ. So now, by now, Rasulullah had worn his heart. He spoke to me so well. So he says, see, we have just come in from ignorance, and Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with Islam. وَمِنَّا رِجَالٌ يَعْتُونَ الْقُحَانِ. There are some people that go to soothsayers, right? So don't go to them. And there are some that take omens. They take omens with the direction of the bird, right? Bird is going on the right, good luck will come. Going on the left, bad luck will come. So now, we to take omens, ذَلِكَ الشَّيْءٌ is just something that they perceive in their minds. So this should not stop them from what they're embarking on. Embarking on something, and you saw the bird going on this side or the other side, then it mustn't stop you from what you're embarking upon. And then there was another way also of soothsaying and fortune telling, is draw some lines on the ground, right? So that also Rasulullah discouraged. Some Nabi knew about this thing, how to do it. But now that it's obliterated, you can't take a chance. مَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ or مَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ. If he's right, now that is obliterated, now you can't get it right now. Now he says, see, when you talk to the person nicely, decently, respectfully, so his heart opens and then he can learn, right? So Rasulullah was the greatest of teachers. He's the greatest of teachers, and he understands how to open that person's mind so that he feels free to learn. So that the passage of communication is open. I shout the person for every small little thing, now will his heart be open? Can he progress? He can't progress. So therefore the approach of wisdom is very, very important. All of us need to learn what the approach is supposed to be in the course of learning and teaching. Right? She said, I had a slave, and she was grazing our sheep on the direction of Uhud. Right? When I looked, I saw that a wolf had just taken one sheep. I was really, really furious. And when I saw this, asafu kama yasifun, like how people get angry, I became very angry. Right? And I slapped her. Right? So Rasulullah felt this to be a very serious crime. So when Nabi Sam showed that it's a very serious crime that you have done, you have slapped her, right? Although you were angry. So he says, now as a compensation, can I free her? He says, alright, bring her. Ain Allah, now to see now whether she's a Muslim or not, right? So normally, right, when you are asking, then you raise your head towards the sky. It doesn't mean that Allah is restricted to the sky, but perhaps out of the overawing feeling in your mind, you look at the sky. So she pointed towards the sky. Right? So that means she recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his presence covers everything, space and time. Right? So she replied in the affirmative. The Nabi said, "A'tiqha fa inna mu'minatun." We have already did the interview now. She is a Muslim, so you may free her. Min umur Islam, fakana fima alimtu. Few things that I learned of. Same as Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, he says, "Fahmidillah iza atasta." So if someone sneezes, then must fahmidillah, and he praise Allah Ta'ala. And he must praise Allah, fahmidillah, right? And when he sneezes and he says alhamdulillah, then the person that hearing must say yarhamukallah, right? Then all this happened, and I said yarhamukallah, raising my voice. Faramani an nasu bi absari. People began to look at me, stiff eyes, and I was now overwhelmed. Oh, what's wrong with you people? Why are you giving me this stiff look? Fasabbahu, they start saying tasbih. Anyway, after the namaz, see his response or the feeling, or the Nabi's teaching and directing, the effect it had on himself. So Nabi explained to me, "Innama salat li qira'at al-Qur'an wa dhikrillah." When you're in namaz, then this is what you're supposed to be engaging. Then he says that the closing remark, he says what? "Ma ra'aytu mu'alliman arfaqa min Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." I haven't seen a teacher more gentle than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See that? What a teacher needs to be. You're teaching someone how gentle you're supposed to be, how kind you're supposed to be, the type of kindness, calmness that you're supposed to be showing when you are a teacher, right? The next chapter is about Amin, behind the Imam, right? So just one, two facts about the Amin. So, Amin is separate from the Surah Fatiha. It's not a continuation. Well, at Dhalin, you stop, and then you say Amin, right? Then Amin, how is it pronounced? With a tashdeed or without a tashdeed? Amin, that's not right. Amin, wala Amin al Bayt al Haram. Amin means intending. Qasidina al Bayt al Haram, right? So that's not the right pronunciation. The right pronunciation is Amin without a tashdeed. So Amin, what does it mean? It's Asma'i Af'al. What it means? Means istajib, Allah Ta'ala accept. Right? Number two. Number three, then who should be reciting the Amin? Right? So according to us, both the Imam and the Jamaat all will be reciting the Amin. Right? It won't be like distributed between the Imam and the congregation, both will recite. Right? Then the fourth discussion is that Amin will it be recited loudly or softly? So we say it will be recited softly. And other Imams, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi and Imam Ahmad got two calls. One is it must be recited softly, and the other is that it must be recited loudly. So they say it's loud and we say it's soft, right? So now, just to put you into the picture, right, to get a better understanding, right? The Hanafis have got a procedure when there is an outward contradiction, right? When there is an outward contradiction, right? And how do you go about reconciling? Right? So one hadith is saying soft, one is saying do it loudly. So how do you reconcile? So the first step that the Hanafis will look at is are both the hadiths authentic? Both authentic. Now the second step, then which one would you prefer? Right? So the second line in the procedure of the Hanafis will be, then they'll see ma kana awfaqa bil Quran, what is closer to the Quran Sharif. Right? So now look into the Quran Sharif. Now you got Amin, and now look into the Quran Sharif. What is closer to the teaching of the Quran Sharif? Because The Quran Sharif is the original word. The word has not been changed. Hadith could be sometimes he's giving the hadith, but in his own words, like how you get a translation, right? So you're giving it in your words, though the meaning hasn't been altered. Here the Quran, the meaning and the words both are preserved, right? And they're both preserved. So now you look now what is awfaq bil Quran, what is closer to the Quran Sharif. So now you come across the verse Qumu lillahi qanitin, right? In namaz, qanitin means sakinin sakitin, silent and calm, at rest. That means at rest, rest means sakin, means there's no movement. There's no movements, fidgeting, moving, looking around. So now, one is saying it aloud, one is saying it softly. So, in which situation you'll be closer to sakinin? Were you saying it aloud or were you saying it softly? If you sing it softly, it'll be closer to sukoon. So, that's for the Hanafis will prefer that. Now, this is a lengthy discussion, so we'll see tomorrow, inshallah. Jay? Yadra'uhu bi-akhaffi darabin. Very lightly. میں حرم شریف میں نماز پڑھ رہا تھا 1970s میں, تو کوئی صاحب someone was passing by the مسلی, so this Arab person performing نماز, so he put his hand out, you're not supposed to be passing, so that person doesn't know, he took his hand, السلام علیکم. Mustab. Because of the language differences, in the Haram Sharif also sometimes strange things happen, right? One man from India is by the Muzdazam, right? And he's holding on to the khilaf. And he says, Allah Ta'ala maafi, Allah Ta'ala maafi. One Arab came and nudged him, Allah Ta'ala fi, Allah Ta'ala fi. When you sing Allah Ta'ala maafi, you sing, Allah make me maaf. And the colloquial language, you say, you know, you want something, so you ask him, halib fi, halib fi, say maafi. Maafi means not available. That is a colloquial language, right? So now the Arab is thinking, he says, Allah, he's saying Allah maafi. He's saying Allah is not around. So the Arab is insisting Allah is around. So the language differences.